Okay, for our section here of Baptist history, we're looking at the eight distinctives, the Baptist distinctives, and we're just talking about each one. We're only getting through one a week, so it's slower than I thought. How many can remember the first two? Anybody remember the first two? We talked about two. One was the first one was very important, the most important, perhaps. Anybody think of one? Yes. Yes, the Bible is the sole authority for everything we do, the authority of Scripture. And again, that may sound funny. You say, well, of course. But if you look at other denominations, other religions, think of this, how tradition comes into play and things that they've done or said over the years that are not in the Bible have become equal with the Bible or in some cases more important than the Bible. Where the Bible and the tradition lock horns, the tradition is over the Bible. So that, you know, so that is, it actually is rare that the Bible is the sole authority. The second one, anybody think of the second one? We talked about it last week? All right. Priesthood of the believer. So I know you left your notes at home. You know, I know everybody was, you know. But priesthood of the believer and how that we don't have anybody between us and God. We don't have to ask another man to absolve our sins and then he goes to God for us. We don't go through. We don't even go to our pastors and say, forgive me of my sins. They don't have the power to do that, and they wouldn't do that. And so we go directly to God. And we had that wonderful illustration or that wonderful symbol in the Bible when, and I think it was Pastor Unger that had just a wonderful message on that in a preaching conference. I believe it was him. I'm sorry if it wasn't. But where that when Jesus died, the moment Jesus died, the Bible says, that you remember in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies was only approached, only the high priest could go into that Holy of Holies, and he could only go in once a year. Regular people could not go in there. And so there was this curtain in the tabernacle or temple, I suppose, that only the priest could go in. And the Bible says when Jesus died, the moment Jesus died, that the veil of the temple was torn in two, and to show that it was God, God mentions there, from the top to the bottom. And that symbolizes a wonderful symbol that now all Christians can go into the Holy of Holies and go directly to God. So that's a wonderful thing. And that is distinct, not just to Baptists, but that is one of our Baptist distinctives. So the third thing is the autonomy of the local church. And again, if you've been in this church or another Baptist church all your life, these things may seem like, of course, you know, you can't imagine it any other way. But the local church is an independent body accountable only to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at that and where we understand that from the Bible. But all human authority for governing the local church resides within the local church itself. So there's no outside influence governing our church. The church is autonomous or self-governing. No religious hierarchy outside of the local, outside the internal government. That would be the pastor and deacons may dictate the church's beliefs or practices. So we don't have a bishop in another state or, you know, down the road in some organization that dictates to us anything at all. We only take our instruction from God's word, and then the leadership of the local church. And that's how the Bible will show here in just a minute. The Bible sets it up. Now, autonomy does not mean isolation. For instance, we may fellowship with other churches, and certainly we have a fellowship once a year, and we don't call it that, but where other local churches come here and we have a preaching conference. And when I grew up in Illinois, we had a fellowship of Baptist churches in central Illinois. They got together once a month. It was a young people's thing, and they had a speaker come in. And but each church, nobody answered to anybody there. We just came together voluntarily and had that time of fellowship, and it might have been an activity or a preaching service or we had quiz teams from each church, that kind of thing. So we fellowship with other churches, but we would never be a member, an actual member of another body. And you might think of Baptist churches, there's a specific, maybe I don't call it denomination, but the Southern Baptist movement, kind of gets really close to that line, where they actually may be a member of the larger denomination, and sometimes, maybe even subtly, the larger denomination dictates things to the church. So we're not a member of another denomination. There's not an independent Baptist church hierarchy sitting somewhere and they dictate. So we're completely independent. And where those churches, where those Baptist churches come close to being a member of another body, well, they're getting further and further away from Scripture is the best way to put it, because the Bible is very clear. So if there's any one thing that distinguishes Baptists from all other Christian denominations is the fact that each local church is totally independent of any kind of denominational hierarchy. This, of course, is going to make many different varieties of Baptist churches. We might be in total agreement with the fundamental doctrines of the faith with the church down the road, but they could be completely different than, from us in the way that the church is, the personality of the church and everything is done in the church. And so the Bible is the authority for all of our faith and practice, and we believe that the Bible, of course, supports this church autonomy. In the New Testament, each congregation of Christians was autonomous. They made their own decisions. Each was a separate entity under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, some examples would be just quickly in the New Testament, in Revelation, the second and third chapter of Revelation, the Bible is speaking of seven churches in Asia Minor. And the revelation was directed to those seven churches. But each one of those was a unique, separate entity, and they had no authority except the Lord Jesus. And it's very clearly taught there in Revelation. Other spots, you might remember in Acts, there's a couple, as the church, the local church is brand new in the book of Acts, of course, because Jesus had just gone back to heaven. But the you think of specifically in Acts chapter 6, where the disciples gathered the church together, and they said, "Choose seven of the best, you know, the best men here, the men that are closest to the Lord. Choose out seven," and the apostles gave that to the local church to choose, and they chose seven men that we now know as the first deacons, and but that was totally a church decision. That wasn't a hierarchy coming in and picking people, anything like that. Another spot is in Acts chapter 13, where that local church in Antioch prayed and sought the Holy Spirit's guidance, and they chose Paul and Barnabas to go out and be missionaries. And so that local church in Antioch chose those two. There are several others, but even before the church was begun, Jesus talks about discipline in the local church in Matthew chapter 18, and how the local church should, if there are problems, how that would be handled in the local church. So we find this teaching in the New Testament, and that's why we have derived from the Scripture that each local body is autonomous and completely independent. And of course, this goes without saying, but all through the New Testament, of course, especially in Acts, the church resisted all efforts from government and other religious authorities to change their beliefs. And those verses, Acts 4, 18 through 20, where Peter and Paul used the phrase, "We ought to obey God rather than man," and that was because the outside influences were coming in, trying to dictate to them where they could preach and what they could do. And Peter said, we don't answer to you. We don't answer the government. We answer to God. And where that differs, we obey God rather than man. This is in stark contrast, and I'm be all done here. But this is in stark contrast to other denominations who have a hierarchy. And if you might know or might not know this, but other hierarchies, let's say the Lutheran Church or the Presbyterian Church, that hierarchy actually chooses pastors for the local church. So in other words, when our pastor retired, the hierarchy would come in and say, "Okay, we're choosing this guy from Austin, Texas, or North Carolina to be your pastor." And the local church in those situations doesn't have anything to say about that. Those pastors are chosen by the hierarchy and put into place. So that's the difference, if we can see the difference between the autonomy of the church. And Baptists don't call themselves Protestants. Now, in the larger sense of the term, we use that term to differentiate ourselves between Catholics and the others. But we don't call ourselves Protestants, to make this simple, because the term Protestant comes from the word protesters. And that was a time of the Reformation where people that were in the Catholic Church protested and left the Catholic Church. But Baptists don't believe that we came from that time, because Baptists have felt that independent believers have always existed throughout history and were never a part of Catholicism. So we don't consider ourselves Protestant. We, in general, people would call us Protestant as opposed to Catholic. But you understand, we don't consider ourselves Protestant because we don't believe we came from the Catholic Church. There was always a line of, they had different names. They weren't always called Baptists, and we've studied this, but Waldensians and these believers through history that practiced Baptistic beliefs, and they predated the Reformation. And so that's an important distinction that we should understand about being considered Protestant because of where we think we came from. And anyway, so that's our third one today is we have priesthood of believers, we have the authority of Scripture, and the third one today is autonomy of the local church. So I hope this isn't too boring. I hope it's interesting or at least like educational. And so this is the third one. We'll study the others next week.